The Koi Gig Pod.
I'm going to have people with torches and pitchforks outside my door with this next question. But anyways, here we go.
Our version of the Ronaldo effect. You okay, hon?
I'm not good. I won't lie.
Subscribe to The Koi Gig Pod on the Off The Ball app now.
Completely out of the blue, for most people anyway, that news was announced yesterday afternoon. So we'll do a bit of a deep dive into him, his background, and the heroics from Iceland over the last few years, because that's the thing that we're all pinning our hopes on in the next 17 months under our new manager. So that's all coming up between now and around 9:30. You can tweet us at Off The Ball. You can leave a comment on the YouTube stream. Cameron and Adrian are with us in studio. A very good morning to you both, gentlemen.
Owen, Cameron.
Good morning. I don't have my Icelandic greeting ready.
If there's time, there's time. We do have a long 17 months.
I presume it's hey or something similarly Scandinavian.
Something similarly Scandinavian, which would obviously be inappropriate for an Icelandic person.
Well, the languages are very similar, aren't they?
Racially profiling all Nordic people this morning.
That's all in that box there. Wow.
We'll come to that in a sec. I think what has happened since Ireland has got a new manager is that England have gone back to the final of a major tournament. And actually, as it turns out, that it's impossible to kill England. It's impossible to beat England at any stage before the final of a European Championships. In fact, the last person to beat England at a stage before the final of a European Championships was the new Republic of Ireland manager in Heimir Hallgrímsson. It is that chaotic night against Iceland in 2016 that England have been beaten before the final in the Euros, which is just such a long time ago. Gareth Southgate, all the statistics are now painting him as one of the greatest England managers of all time. It feels bizarre, but at the same time, when you see that Ollie Watkins, who's barely kicked the ball all tournament, is one of the people that you can call upon when the need is at its greatest, it does kind of paint a picture of an outstanding squad and a squad that definitely have a chance this Sunday.
Hello, by the way, is the answer to the question that was burning.
Yeah, just that's Adrian telling you he was not listening to anything you were saying there.
No, I was totally tuned in. It's probably legitimate that he's one of England's greatest managers, but I mean, it wouldn't take much. You know, I mean, I know they've won a World Cup, but, you know, outside of that, it's not as if they've got this serious CV of achievement that it's a lofty position to be in. He's obviously got them to a bunch of finals now and is working with the latest golden generation. I'm here for it. I'm with much more energy and enthusiasm about us today, and we'll do over the weekend for England's continual involvement in the tournament. And actually, the starters played good football last night, clearly, particularly in the first half. Listen, penalty aside, and I'm sure we'll get into that as the morning goes on. England playing football like that, why would you be against the winner of the tournament?
What do you mean? Why would you be against them winning the tournament? Just in general?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been on the record of saying it, that I don't mind to see them progress. Mm-hmm. They're not the most unlikable bunch of players, if I could put it in that very Irish way. All you needed them to do was start to play a bit of football. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a huge pile of evidence of last night. They have borne the crap out of you up to this point, obviously, but I always felt I was feeling, you know, they were obviously forced into making a bit of a tweak to the system for the previous game. That didn't pay all the dividends that everybody maybe thought it might do, but then last night it did. I don't know what that was down to. Foden obviously was whatever the opposite of a shadow of himself, lording it last night. I don't know, was it Gay's return necessarily? Feels like that might be an overstatement on him. But they played good football. They had a hatful of chances. Yes, the penalty was controversial, but I don't think anybody was leaving the stadium or having watched it feeling that the Dutch were hard done by in the overall scheme of things. Penalty notwithstanding.
Penalty notwithstanding, yeah, I don't think so. Like, England, more shots, more possession, looked the better team. The penalty, though, is a bit of a nightmare from a Netherlands perspective. I think this England team just need a bit of a jolt every so often. And I think the goal that they concede very early on is the exact jolt that they got. Like, it was the same as the Switzerland game, going 1-0 down. They were like, oh, we actually have to try and force something here. And these individuals start to believe in their own brilliance a little bit more than this sort of collective that's been encouraged by Southgate over the years, which obviously is a good thing, but sometimes in a tournament you need to revert to the thing that England relied on for too long in the early part of this century, which is that you have a collection of individually brilliant players and you just need a moment mm-hmm. with them. And to be fair, the width of a post was all that separated England from getting that moment via Phil Foden last night. Saka produced the moment at the weekend, and obviously it was Cole Palmer and Ollie Watkins last night who produced that moment for England. And when you have that squad, the odds are forever in your favour when it comes to getting that moment. And I also think when you look at their opponents at the weekend, I think maybe one of the things I think they might be thanking their lucky stars for is the fact that Toni Kroos went like full shithouse on Spain two rounds ago and has taken out Pedri, and they've been roughed up two rounds ago. Of course, they still have plenty of talented players on the pitch, but hashtag stars are aligning is what I'm feeling about this England team right now.
Would you like some more stars to possibly align here? So Alcaraz plays Medvedev in the Wimbledon semi-final tomorrow. He will most likely face Djokovic in the final on Sunday. In 2021, Djokovic played Matteo Berrettini of Italy on the day that Italy beat England in the Euros final. So a Spaniard could be playing and maybe losing to Djokovic on the day of the 2024 final. So I'm using that as a good omen.
That doesn't feel tenuous at all.
No. No. I'm putting money on it now.
The point about the confidence is absolutely bang on, by the way. Like, looking at them last night, did you feel that they were in any way related to that team that had gone before? Like, looking at Phil Foden in the middle of the park, position that obviously has suited him massively, confidence high. You know, you mentioned some of the chances they got. But for Dumfries, brilliant goal line. On first watch, I was like, well, that ball is definitely over the line. And then the Stephen Doyle, I saw, and plenty of others tweeting it last night, the graphic of the ball on the line, like, you know... And that chance that he got was close to a carbon copy of the Lamine Yamal goal from the previous evening. There's definitely their team high on confidence with unbelievable quality. Spain are a class. They're a class act, and they obviously have the two lads that'll give them plenty of issues in the wide channels, but. You'd have to be feeling England fans don't feel like as if they need me to tell them that they should be confident about this game, but I think they should be uber confident. They've hit form at the exact right time.
Who do you reckon Ollie Watkins was held by as a baby?
Yeah, this is the big question. I thought you were going to say who was holding on to him last night when he took that. What a deft touch. How long was he on the pitch at that stage?
It can't have been long. Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah. Like, little deft touch, turn, boom. He was talking about it afterwards. He had said to Cole Palmer before the game, listen, you're going to play me in tonight and I'm going to score.
That was an extraordinary thing to hear.
This definitely says more about me, right? But my first thought was, footballers say this all the time.
Yeah,
right?
True.
And, you know, when it doesn't happen, they're not out talking about it afterwards.
If we allow ourselves to take it at face value for just a moment, does that suggest that there is like a premeditated nature to Southgate substitutions and that they both knew that they would be coming on together? Not only did they know they'd be appearing, they both knew that the other man would be coming on as well.
They explicitly knew, or they guessed?
Well, it would be unusual for one substitute to say to another substitute, pass the ball to me, given neither the substitutes know if they're going to be coming on, but this would suggest that they both knew that they were coming on.
Well, Palmer was certainly coming on. And then, it was going to be a question as to whether is it going to be Watkins and
or Tony,
and you kind of feel, based on what happened the last day, You got to reward the boy,
yeah,
Tony.
It does feel like, that is an interesting point, because it did feel against Switzerland that Southgate had obviously made a substitutions for penalties, and granted it's in extra time when the substitutes are made, but I thought that he would follow the exact same template for the substitutes this time, where Kane would be taken off for Tony in extra time. Bringing Watkins on for Kane is him saying, this ain't going to penalties, because as we know, Watkins is not a great penalty taker. He doesn't take them for Aston Villa. He's missed a few of them for Aston Villa. And Tony is a majestic penalty taker. Doesn't even need to look at the ball when he strikes the football. So this is very much Gareth Southgate saying, this is not going all the way. And maybe it's as much of an extra time substitution as anything else. And sure, they've got so many great footballers still on the pitch that they can put together five footballers who aren't Ollie Watkins, who can take a good penalty. But I just thought that was an interesting shift from the Switzerland game, where Southgate's mentality with the substitutions was very clearly, we're not going to pens here.
Yeah, well, very conservative, but it looks like genius now. What was it like?
The opposite of conservatism, though. It was conservative against Switzerland, is what I'm saying. And last night it was, no, we're killing this game.
No, totally, totally. Like, against all sort of everything. He goes out here with the, he goes out roaring, Gareth Southgate, is what's happening here. And the only other thing about the Watkins thing, when he was asked about it afterwards, the goal, and then he says, I said to the subs, you know, I'm going to come over and celebrate you when I score this goal. We're all going to celebrate together. It did feel like we've all been left out in the cold over here, and we're going to like put two fingers up to Southgate as much as anybody. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but I definitely felt it was like we're not getting enough airtime, you and us.
Like, who are we talking here? Are we talking like the Jared Bowens of this
Correct.
World, the Adam Wartons of this world who've been...
Gordon.
They've all... Who hasn't played for England in this tournament? Like,
Who are the sub-keepers?
Obviously, Ramsdale hasn't played. Lewis Dunk, I don't think, has played. Joe Gomez hasn't played. Dean Henderson hasn't played. And I think Adam Wharton hasn't played.
Etsy's come in.
Or did Wharton play? I can't remember. But it is few players. And
Lewis Dunk.
I've mentioned him. I think that you do just get to a stage in the tournament where they've found a way of getting through the rounds. And for him to rip up his template for substitutions was, I just thought, one of the striking things from last night. So,
brilliant.
Congratulations to Sir Gareth. And it is tempting, and I'm not going to avoid the temptation here to get into what actually this does, regardless of what happens on Sunday, to Southgate's immediate future as a football manager. Yeah. Are we now giving him...
Are we now in a position where we're discussing Gareth Southgate staying on as England manager? Because that felt to me to be, even if they won the final, an absolute reach, that everybody had just had enough of him. But last night is a game where, for all job interviews for the next, whatever it is, 6 months, he's gone. See that one? That, me, all of that.
It's mad how reactionary the whole thing though, isn't it? Because 1-0 down to Switzerland on Saturday, Gareth Southgate is 100% out of the gig. No way it would be tolerated for him to stay on. Gets to the semi-final and then it becomes a bit more of a debate. Now they're in the final again and he's got to as many finals as any of his predecessors combined. Well, actually, before last night, he'd got to as many semi-finals as any of his predecessors combined at major tournaments. So even before last night, you kind of feel it's definitely up in the air. This could definitely happen for him to stay on. Now for the final, it's like, I mean, it feels that it would be a risk to move away from Southgate, who's going to give all these English people this massive memory on Sunday, win or lose. And if they win, I think it's his future is in his hands rather than anybody else. Now, maybe he doesn't want this. Maybe the return to club management is exactly what he wants. And Manchester United fans are looking at their televisions over the past couple of days thinking to themselves, this is, I like the cut of this guy's jib.
The court of public opinion, obviously, is the big thing, isn't it? Whether you're here or over there, as we're discovering this morning, obviously, with Heimer. But... I do think the court of public opinion is a big one, and like most English fans this morning are going, oh, we like this new Gareth Southgate. Mm-hmm. He's really good. We could definitely go forward with him, I think.
Mm. Dave from Rathcool and Andrew Dawson in the YouTube comments saying that Watkins said it to him as they were coming on, not before the game.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay, that makes way more sense.
We got our lines crossed there. Mm. Andrew sent it with the head and hands emoji. So.
Well, that also definitely increases the number of times that thing gets said. You know, that's a confidence builder. That's not a prediction.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Me and you've got this. That's what that is. Still though, great goal.
Delighted.
Brilliant goal.
Delighted for them.
We will be chatting to Daniel Harris and Tanetta Manua throughout the morning to get their reaction to last night's win for England. The other news yesterday, certainly from a football perspective, is we have a new manager. 231 days of waiting are officially over. Eimear Hallgrímsson is the brand new Republic of Ireland manager. Might run through some of the back pages actually here just to get a flavour of what the reporting's been like. The lead on the Irish Times. Hallgrímsson is surprise new head coach, writes Gavin Comiskey, 57-year-old, previously coached Iceland and Jamaica, and will take over in time for game against England in September, with profiles across the papers on who exactly he is. The back of the Mirror actually leads with Ollie Watkins. What a finish is the headline there. Ollie's late goal blasts England into final. And Day of High Drama is the headline there.
I think it's more Hay, is it? We better get this right. I think it's more Hamer, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, Hamer was what Phil Egan, our pronunciation Don, was saying earlier.
I did listen to him say his own name yesterday, so apologies, Hamer. Hamer Who is the back of the Irish Daily Mail. This sets the tone that exists out there in a lot of corners, I'd imagine, to the news yesterday. FAI take big punt on former Iceland boss. We'll come back to that in just a sec. They actually go at it on the front page of the Irish Sun this morning. Come on, you boys in green. Surprise FAI choice. Promises Route 1 ball. He's going back to basics, he says. Football's coming home.
I mean, you have to go. You have to, yeah.
Home?
What? Give me the... What, gum on the front page. Come on, you boys in green.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
Gum is the thing that connects your teeth to your mouth, and he is a dentist.
Okay, right. I never knew he was a dentist. Is he really a dentist? That's, wow. Wow.
Has no one gone with dentist appointment?
No.
Ah, come on.
Not yet, anyway. Ireland's Ice Age is the back of the Irish Daily Star, the Irish Independent here as well. Go with this information, which I haven't seen carried in too many places, that he's going to get $650,000 a year for his salary. So Halgrimson handed 17-month contract as FAI and long search for boss. There's a couple of other stories in the back pages, which we'll come back to in just a moment. Iceman cometh for Irish team is the back of the Herald. And then the rest here, the UK back pages, which obviously focus largely on Ollie Watkins' winner last night for England. So Heimer who, I'm coming back to this one, or Heimer who, sorry. I need to rewatch that and just get that spot on in just a sec. But is this your reaction to the appointment yesterday, or is that, I don't know, is there like a tone there that's a little bit harsh on a man who we don't necessarily know a lot about, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a bad manager?
I went from everything yesterday on, from watching his, doing what everybody else did, looking at his ever-changing Wikipedia page yesterday afternoon with all the hilarious updates, to right through the full scale last night, watching a Reggae Boys live YouTube with me and about 57 other people watching a Jamaican football podcast, just to see exactly what the fallout in Jamaica was about this about this thing. By the way, in case you're wondering, they're pretty sanguine about the whole thing. They're wishing him the best of luck. He did them a bit of service, and now he's moving on. But yeah, I kind of feel there's two aspects to it. Number one, listen, the man has to be given time. Like, we don't really know if the Heimer who is a fair enough headline, in the sense that we really don't know enough about what he's going to bring to Ireland. We know a little bit about his CV. Obviously, he's had some high profile success, and then a lot of football in Qatar. You know, is that to recommend him? Doesn't feel like it's an especially high point of his CV. And then he goes to Jamaica, obviously, and there are a lot of similarities probably between ourselves and Jamaica, in the sense that, like, obviously Mikel Antonio is their sort of standout. They have one standout player that they try and build the team around. He's trying to bring in a lot of players who might have some Jamaican heritage. There'll be a little bit about that here. So I think ultimately on that side, he has to be given time. And equally, I think you can have dual feelings on it in relation to the reflections on the process that got us here. 231 days, was that the thing? Mm-hmm. Sort of felt like when we got to 231 days, there'd be some sort of a payoff. Like, oh, cool, they really
such
have...
Such as?
Well, as somebody of... Listen, we have notions, so I'll preface it with that, but somebody of profile and inarguable CV, where you could say, well, listen, you could point to something and say, listen, it was absolutely worth the wait. And that's sort of what I'm saying is, it could have been worth the wait, but we just don't know yet.
But do you not feel like the length of time we've had to wait meant that no matter who they appointed, unless it was Jurgen Klopp, would have been anticlimactic?
Probably.
Who were you envisaging? Like, does the fact that we waited 231 days not suggest that the likelihood of getting a box office name was decreasing as opposed to increasing?
Oh, possibly. And maybe the opposite could have been true, that they were hanging on for somebody who was locked in a job and couldn't get out until they were underperformed at a tournament and then they had to resign. I think reading it last night was he sent in his letter of resignation rather than the other way around. So I don't know. Listen, what would I have been whelmed by? Maybe Roy Keane might have whelmed me. That's no commentary on whether he would have been good for Ireland or not. That's just what it is. And mostly my expectation was that John O'Shea was just going to end up falling into the job, rightly or wrongly, and might have made a very good fist of it. It'll be interesting to see whether, I'm sure over the next couple of days, when they've had a proper chance to talk to Heimer about his plans, that it'll be, John O'Shea has been there for four games and he's a bit of a legend around these parts, has done the assistant manager thing a little bit. Do you think you might include him? I'm sure that that's probably going to happen over the next while. I do feel a little bit for him too, because he's been like sent out for all these games with no clarity. So one of my issues in relation to all this is that, you know, the FAI said in their statement earlier this year, we identified Heimer as our number one target. So I'd like a little bit of detail around that as to exactly when they're talking about. Are they talking about March, when they said we're imminently going to announce who our men's national team manager is, because there are contractual issues, but I think it was the start of April, we're going to make this thing public. So was it that early, Or was it kind of in the last week? Because it does feel as if it's very much the latter. And sorry, the only other point I make in relation to that is in relation to John O'Shea, because he was asked to go out in front of the media a lot over that time with clearly no clarity. They could have had a word and said, listen, we have our guy. It's not going to be you. We'll hopefully try and find some sort of role for you. But he was put out with this sense of, it might be me, it might not be me. I don't really have any information. And I do feel that, I felt at the time, and I now feel even stronger in hindsight, that he was, that was very unfair in him.
Well, you'd imagine that Mark Canham will be alongside the media today for the unveiling and the media conference, and there'll be a lot of questions asked about the process and how he came to this point. But, you know, I do think, like, I'm just reading here that he had a 44% win record with Iceland and 41% win record with Jamaica. Only Jack Charlton has achieved something higher than that with Ireland. So, you know, he comes from relatively good pedigree, and there was a lot of talk around just the underwhelming, I think underwhelming is the theme of the day, the underwhelming nature of the reaction to names like Neil Lennon, Sam Allardyce, even when David Moyes was floated, people were like, oh, I don't know. Like, it, there was talk that maybe we should look further afield and go for a non-UK-based option from somewhere we haven't really considered before, and this is exactly it. And I don't really understand why people are so negative. It sort of feels like secondary school crushes where, God, there must be something wrong with them if they like us.
There's definitely a sense out there as well. Like, I thought this was going to be John O'Shea. I thought John O'Shea was going to get this gig. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was definitely the front runner, and I didn't think that the FAI had this appointment coming. And one of the things that we were saying consistently over the last 231 days, especially in the second half of this spell, is that it's either going to be John O'Shea, it's either going to be him or Willie Sanyal, or else the FAI are going to pull a complete rabbit out of a hat, and it's going to be a complete left field choice. That was always a possibility. I didn't believe that that possibility was actually going to manifest itself in reality, but that's exactly what's after happening here. It didn't leak. It turned out it was a pretty tight process. I don't know how long they've been talking to him or how long this these conversations have been happening, but for however long they have been happening, they've kept it pretty tight in-house. And the reaction, Hamer who, does suggest that it is a bit of a rabbit out of a hat. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that that's credit automatically has to be given to the FAI for that, but it kind of suggests a little bit more effort than just giving it to John O'Shea. I am a little bit concerned, though, about the sort of the who aspect to all of this, because if you think that the anonymity of the name is an issue when it comes to managing the team, then I think that means that Roy Keane is who you would want to be installed as Ireland manager. Because of your reputation and how well you're known or how famous you are, which is what Hamer who suggests, if that is a big issue for you, then you just appoint the most famous person. Just give it to Roy Keane because he is the most well-known person involved in Irish football. Just give it to him because that's clearly a factor when it comes to the people who think, oh, Hamer who.
There is that. There is, of course, the court of public appeal, appeal, and you would have to say that the FAI, like, of course it comes into their thinking. When sat, and it should do. We're sat around the table, like, one of the things that he gets asked in the in-house chat yesterday with the FAI TV person was, you know, oh, you're looking forward to getting to know the fans. Big part of their gig is to sell out the stadium, right? So, like, that was always a factor when Roy came up. Well, this would be really good because he would get bums on seats. It was the same thing with the Martin O'Neill, Roy Keane thing. This is great. It's box office. It's a bit of a distraction from how the football is actually going because they will get people into the ground. So, listen, there is an element of that. Is that the right thing from a footballing point of view? Of course not. Like, if it matches up that Roy Keane is a brilliant football manager,
of course,
and also he's well known, amazing. If we were in that world, he'd be the Ireland manager right now. If we were in that world, he'd probably be managing the Premier League right now. So look, there would be a titillation about having Roy Keane in the gig that I think we'd all be attracted to for a period of time, and then I suspect there'd be endless stories of player unrest, and the football would be what it would be.
Yeah.
And there's a huge element of this one where we're all going, listen, everybody was on Wikipedia yesterday. Everybody was on going, who is, what, give us more detail. Oh, was he that guy with Iceland? Okay. And so there's a couple of bells to get rung. By and large, there was an element of who is he? But I think within that, we generously have to say, let's give it time. We've England coming up in September in Greece, back-to-back home games. I think there'll be huge enthusiasm around that. He'll come out. I watched his first press conference with Jamaica last night, and he'll come out and say, stuff. Obviously, he'd say all the right things about wanting to play, wanting to get back to basics, like he hinted at yesterday, wanting to get back to winning football. And I'm sure there'll be huge enthusiasm and hope around those September games. You know, one of them is going to be against the European champions, so it's going to be a very difficult encounter. We'll have to see how that goes. And then Greece is obviously the one that was the big one that was used as a stick to beat Stephen Kenny with in the last round. So that'll be all the comparisons will come up around that. But we'll at least at that point have a better picture to be able to go, okay, we haven't actually seen exactly everything we had hoped we might see from this guy just yet, but maybe we'll give him a little bit longer, or else we'll be saying, oh, this isn't so bad.
Well, it's someone who can do something in qualifying campaigns, which we know are very difficult because of the lack of time you get with the players in the lead up to those international windows. And we're talking about someone who qualified for the 2018 World Cup, having topped their qualifying group that included Croatia, who were the eventual finalists that year. So he is someone who knows how to get it done. Mm-hmm. I think, like, let's just see how this goes.
I'm with you on that for sure. I think reserving judgment until at least a few games into this is what we need to do.
It's a horrible position to be in, by the way, isn't it? Like, you'd rather be going, this is great, or it's really bad, you know. But it's like,
But that's totally fine. It's totally fine for us to say we don't know how this is going to go. And I think anybody who can say for sure that this is going to be a disastrous appointment, or for sure that this is going to be an amazing appointment, is talking nonsense, really. Mm. There are just so many variables here. Even... I'm sure even Hamer himself is not quite sure how this goes, because his greatest success has come in a country where he's had intimate knowledge, and this is not a country where he's got intimate knowledge whatsoever. So he's bound to have reservations himself. He'll have looked at the Republic of Ireland's recent form and will have reservations about the quality of player that led to poor results recently as well, and I'm sure he'll have reservations. But and the one thing I do like about looking at what he's like said in the past is that he is a supremely confident man when he knows that things are going well. Like, the qualification for Euro 2016, like, even I do agree that qualifying for the World Cup is more impressive than qualifying for Euro 2016, obviously, but just the build towards that competition in France is really interesting when you look at what Hamer had said in the build-up. Like, they had booked a training camp, they had booked their base long before they qualified for France in 2016. He said before the competition started that, I really believe from the bottom of my heart that we are going to qualify from this group, and maybe we'll be able to knock out a big fish in the knockout stages. Mm-hmm. And they went and they did that. For a man who's a manager of a team who had never actually been in that position before, that was big talk. So he knew what he was seeing. He was talking straight, and he delivered on what they had at their disposal in that competition. So I like that. I like what I see when I read back at some of his comments. Obviously, it wasn't just him. It was him and Lars Lagerbäck at the time. And Lagerbäck, as an outsider, was clearly heading up the operation in Iceland. And Hamer here was more the Icelandic guy on the inside. So there was a bit of a combination there. But there'll be a combo here as well. It seems that John O'Shea might still be involved in the setup. Paddy McCarthy, Glenn Whelan potentially. We'll see what the backroom setup actually looks like. So I'm hopeful. Cautiously, yeah. And I think that's probably the way a lot of people will feel, as opposed to saying, I don't know who this guy is, and therefore it's going to be a terrible appointment.
He'll get asked today whether he's going to move to Ireland, I assume.
Presumably.
He had the Jamaica gig for the last couple of years. One of the things that the Reggae Boys were talking about last night, the Reggae Boys podcast, he never moved to Jamaica. I mean, what's wrong with the man? Like, you know, I got a gig in Jamaica and I'm going to fly in and out.
Where are you, Scott? We had a CEO who didn't move here.
No, I mean, more it's Jamaica.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
You should be moving to Jamaica.
Move to Jamaica for a couple of years. Listen,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Don't work from home.
The other thing, and a more serious point, is the Mason Greenwood comments have come up. So they obviously links with Jamaica, and he was very sympathetic towards Mason Greenwood's plight and the fact that he had had trial by social media and, you know, we'd love to give him a home here type of thing, which, you know, just given recent stories, even beyond this week, listen, it's a little bit of an amber to red light in relation to certainly an association that, if we look at, obviously, Primetime Investigates, brilliant work, obviously, by Marie Crow and Mark Tye on Sunday night and across the paper as well, and the Sunday Independent at the weekend. You would just hope that the FAI are in a position where, you know, they have, that has come up as a talking point, they've done enough research to be satisfied that this is somebody that can fit in to the culture of the FAI when the spotlight is on it so much, and when we should be in a position to be able to have faith in the association, that the stuff that has happened in the past, you know, wouldn't happen again. I think Richard Sadlier brought up a really good point on the TV coverage last night about the timing of the press conference as well, going head to head with the women's national team press conference ahead of a big couple of days for them as well. That feels to me to be totally out of kilter. I see very little case for having that press conference today in light of that investigative report at the weekend and in light of the upcoming games. I don't understand why somebody around the room, if we're being really generous, if somebody around the room didn't say, listen, let's kick, there's no reason we couldn't kick this out for a week or 10 days.
You don't have the Euros either as a distraction as well. So
by all means, announce it today. Let's kick it out for a week or 10 days. Give this conversation the space that it needs to breathe. That feels like a very strange one to me.
What would 236, 237 days have been compared to 231? Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point. James Crew has been in touch to say the circus with the new Ireland manager has already begun because he said John O'Shea went back to basics and that's a good place to start. Irish papers are saying he's bringing back route one, is his question. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what tomorrow's papers say as well after we actually have Hamer in front of a microphone this afternoon. So it is a minute past eight.